They'll talk about their responsibilities, recent developments throughout the network, and ask you for your ideas on how to build a stronger WBAI.
So, mark that date on your calendar. Friday, August 28th, 10 p.m. to midnight, for the third report of 2020 from the WBAI Local Station Board.
Only on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming live at WBAI.org.
WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, streaming at www.wbai.org.
Hello, this is a report from the WBAI Local Station Board. Every month, different members of the local board will inform the community on the matters of WBAI, and members of the community will have the chance to call in and share their ideas on how to build a stronger WBAI. The license for WBAI is held by the Pacifica Foundation, which holds the license for four other community radio stations and has around 200 affiliates across the U.S. Pacifica was founded by pacifists after World War II in 1949, and the mission calls for radio that fosters understanding among nations and individuals, encourages creativity, and promotes innovative, uncensored distribution of news. WBAI became a part of Pacifica in 1960. The revised Pacifica bylaws of 2003 brought us the first governing local station boards to be elected by listeners and staff, initiating an era of increased inclusion, participation, accountability, and transparency throughout the network. The Local Station Board, or LSB, is a subcommittee of the Pacifica Board of Directors and has specific powers and responsibilities. For more information about WBAI and Pacifica, please visit WBAI.org. Thank you for tuning in to this report from the WBAI Local Station Board.
Welcome to this third report of 2020 from the WBAI Local Station Board. My name is Sean Rhodes. I'm one of the six staff delegates on the LSB. I'm also the staff director on the Pacifica National Board, and today I'll be serving as your facilitator, doing station IDs, identifying who's speaking, and asking clarifying questions if necessary. This month, we're presenting various members of the LSB. In the first half of this hour, each participant will give a report, which will be immediately followed by a two-minute period where the other participant in the show will be able to ask questions or make comments on the report just given. In the second half of this hour, we'll invite you to call in with your questions and comments. This format will be repeated for the second hour. Now, the LSB members joining us in this first hour are Marilyn Vogt Downey. Marilyn?
Hello.
Okay. And making an early return appearance is Pacifica National Board Director and also PNB Chair, Alex Steinberg.
Hi, everybody.
Marilyn and Alex are listener delegates, which means they were elected by WBAI listeners to represent them on the LSB. Just so you know, Alex was voted by the entire LSB to serve on the PNB, and the PNB in turn elected Alex as the chair. I should note here that listener delegates John Brinkley and Sharon Salam were scheduled to be with us in this hour, but they canceled days prior to the broadcast. Hopefully, we'll be able to get them on at a future time. Now, before getting to those reports, I've been asked to present the Pacifica mission statement, which serves as a reminder of where we started and ultimately where we should be. So here are the five items in the mission statement.
The Pacifica mission statement.
A. To establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation.
B. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such a manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934, as amended.
C, in radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community.
D, in radio broadcasting operations to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms.
E, in radio broadcasting operations to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied voices in the public presentation of accurate, objective, and comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. Article 2, subsection A, was amended March 6, 1971, filed April 9, 1971, and corrected amended filed May 5, 1971.
And there you have it, the Pacifica Mission Statement. All right, so let's get to those reports. We'll start with listener delegate Marilyn Vogt Downey.
Okay, I'll start. I have a report here. I'll just go ahead and go through it. I wanted to start, Sean told us how to structure this, so I start with my personal experiences. I began listening to WBAI back in 1976, a long time ago, when I had pneumonia one time and I was stuck in bed and I was listening to the radio trying to find something worth listening to, and I came across WBAI and it was on a fun drive. Back then, the fun drives were really exciting, and I got engrossed in all the different things I could get, and I was hooked. Then when I was teaching at City School High School, I set up WBAI as a resource for our interns, our students to serve as interns. That was while BAI was on Wall Street. I seriously began volunteering myself when WBAI moved to Brooklyn. I started in 2013. I attended CAB meetings on Sundays and began working as a volunteer seriously in the office to try to catch up, getting premiums out and answering complaints on the phone. In 2016, I worked with producers who were organizing for a more respectful process at BAI for producers. And I worked with listeners and producers trying to raise funds. And that's when we realized that it was almost impossible to raise any significant funds because the Pacifica audits hadn't been completed. So some of us, Chuck Shalom of Arts Express, Fran Luck of Joy of Resistance, and Rosalie Hoffman, who had been a producer and is a volunteer, we got together and we came up with the idea for a five-station audit fund drive. And we had a big campaign, and finally, in February of 2017, the PMB passed a resolution to have such a fund drive, and it was held March 2nd, 2017, and raised $250,000 for the audits. So that was a huge, huge, huge step forward. But then I realized, volunteering, that there was only so much I could do as a listener volunteer. I had attended LSB meetings, but I had been disappointed at how little got done at them. But I decided to run for the LSB anyhow in the hopes I could maybe help get things done. And I did get elected. I had to run in two elections, one in 2018 and then another one in 2019. Then I got, May 2019, I got elected to the Management Evaluation Committee. And part of the duties of the LSB, as many of you might or might not know, is to annually evaluate the performance of both the program director and the general manager. But this had not, general manager had only been, an attempt had made to evaluate the general manager back in 2014-15 in a report that was presented in May 2016. That was the only attempt, but that never went anywhere because the LSB didn't have a quorum at that time. So I am glad to say that this time, because I was chair of the Management Evaluation Committee, report has been done, and we hope that our final report, which is being presented now, will be adopted by the September LSB meeting, and that would be the first time the LSB will have done an evaluation in over 10 years. So that's a big deal. And with regard to the duties of the LSB according to the Pacifica bylaws, one duty it performs very well, which is overseeing the budget. I presume our Paul Martin has been on one of these productions for reports to listeners, because the LSB Finance Committee meets every third Thursday of the month, and people can come be part, listen to those meetings. And there is a thorough Finance Committee report every LSB meeting, so we do that really well. The LSB is supposed to also screen and select candidates for program director. This has not been done since I began volunteering, at least. So that's been over 9 years. They're not successfully done as far in any way I could detect. There is now a program director search committee. I think it met once in May. I don't think it has met since. We've had no report from on that committee, but I think Sean is on that, so maybe he can give a report on that at some point. But that committee does exist. Even before the pandemic, we did no fundraising that I knew of at all. We didn't have a fundraising committee that seemed to be functioning. We have not fulfilled item G, which is to review the programming to make sure that programming decisions and evaluations are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner. So we do have a ways to go in fulfilling our mission. I just want to say also that LSBs are very, very important. Even we have to make them work properly. I did work really, really hard with WBAI Fight Back, which was a committee set up in response to the October coup last year, made up of producers, listeners, and staff. And during the campaign to defeat the bylaws, WBAI Fight Back mobilized to get a no vote on that referendum. We had a very, very effective phone banking effort that was headed up by Donna Stein of Ecologic. And four or five members of the LSB did pitch in and help make phone calls. The phone banking, we called listeners and producers day in and day out for a couple weeks at a time during that critical time to ensure a no vote. We played a huge role in defeating the referendum, which would have eliminated LSBs across the network. And our work, particularly reaching producers, which was key to defeating the bylaws, because they would be defeated if either the producers or the listeners voted no majority. And we knew we could hardly get more listeners, but we were pretty sure we could get more producers, and we did. We reached 102 producers by phone who had voted no through WBAI Fight Back. And so, as I said, some four or five LSB members did play a role in that. So that's my introduction of myself and trying to follow Sean's guidelines for what we're supposed to say. So that's what I had prepared. So now Alex can have his turn.
Well, before that, Alex, do you have a question or comment to the report Marilyn has just given?
Well, I think it's a good report. I don't want to use the term fair and balanced because that has some bad connotations. But in general, I agree mostly with the report. The LSB is fulfilling its function. It's not perfect. There are still things that the LSB should be doing that it hasn't been able to get to for one reason or another. But I've been on the LSB on and off since 2003, and I must say I'm pleased at the way the LSB has been functioning in the last couple of years. I think all the members of the LSB do recognize that we have some common goals, even as we have some differences over how to get there. So, and behavior has been more or less civil, and that's a good thing.
Okay. All right, thank you. Since there's still time remaining on Marilyn's allotted time for a report, I'll just quickly chime in here before going to you, Alex, with your report, and since my name was mentioned. The PD search committee has met twice. We met in June and July, and at that point, we were writing the job description, both the long form and the short form. So that's where we are with that. So progress is being made on that front. I don't think we got elected until April or May. So I just want to clarify that. All right. So thank you, Marilyn Vogt Downey, for that report. It is 10:16 here at WBAI in New York, 99.5 on your FM dial, and we're streaming at WBAI.org. Normally at this time, you'd be listening to BBO Radio with Craig Lewis and Theo Wilson, but that is not on today. It will be back next week. This is a report from the WBAI Local Station Board. My name is Sean Rhodes. I'm your facilitator today, and this month we're presenting various members of the LSB. You just got through listening to listener delegate Marilyn Vogt Downey. Now let's hear from listener delegate, PMB director, and PMB chair, Alex Steinberg.
Thank you, Sean. If you don't mind, since we've gotten a good deal of the review of the LSB from Marilyn, I'd like to concentrate on what's going on the national front. That's kind of my territory, and I think our listeners maybe don't get enough news about that. Now, you may have received in your email recently an email with the subject line "Some good news from Pacifica," and that document, which was released by our interim executive director and signed by our interim CFO and endorsed by a solid majority of the Pacifica National Board, wanted to inform the membership of some of the positive things that have been accomplished by the PNB, by the executive director, and in the recent period. And I'm not going to read the whole letter. You probably have it in your email, but I just want to highlight a couple of the important issues. We applied for and received the Paycheck Protection Plan forgivable loan. That was for $1.2 million. It is a loan, but it's forgivable if we spend the bulk of it on payroll, which we are doing. And that was very important for Pacifica to tide us over the economic catastrophe caused by the pandemic. We've also applied for something called the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, EIDL loan. We don't have a date yet on that, but we are hopeful that we'll be receiving that. That is a long-term loan with a very low interest rate. The other, there's many other pieces of good news. I'm not going to go into all of them, but one of the major ones is that we recently completed the 2018 audit, and Marilyn correctly mentioned that we have been really unable to apply for grants or get CPB funding because we've been so woefully behind in our audits. At one point, we were over 3 years behind. Since we've done the 2018 audit, we're really only one behind now. Once we get the 2019 audit done, which should take place anytime between the next 3 to 6 months, hopefully sooner rather than later, we will actually be up to date. And if we're up to date with our audits, we are once again able to apply for all kinds of grants, and hopefully we can get some of our CPB funding restored that used to provide us something like $300,000 a year. That was just for WBAI. For Pacifica as a whole, that was more like $1 million a year, and it was an important element in our budget. And part of our problems is that we lost that CPB funding. Anyway, there are many other pieces of good news, and I refer you to the email that hopefully you should have received. Now, because there's good news, it doesn't mean that we've overcome all our financial difficulties. By no means. We still have some serious financial challenges. But I think our listeners want to hear some of the positive developments as well as the challenges we face. Now, the other thing I wanted to, anyway, that's the positive stuff. The other thing I wanted to address, and Marilyn touched upon it, was the referendum we recently had in March. Well, guess what? A new referendum is coming our way. And I want to read a statement about this new referendum that has been authored by a small group of people who think that this is the best thing to do while Pacifica faces all these challenges. You may have received a mailer from these people. They call themselves New Day Pacifica. And what I would like you to know is that the New Day Pacifica mailing is a second attempt to force Pacifica to hold another referendum. The last one cost us $150,000. And this one comes less than 6 months after the previous attempt. It is being sponsored mostly by the same cast of characters who sponsored the last referendum. That one was defeated by a 2-to-1 margin throughout Pacifica. And although some of the details in this bylaws petition or proposal are different than the previous one, it's really this another attack on our democratic governance system. And if the newly proposed bylaws were adopted, here's what they would do. It would centralize Pacifica governance structure and remove any oversight functions from local station boards. It would introduce a winner-takes-all voting method, thus leaving no room for minority voices as our current proportional representation system of voting does. Representatives from each of the stations on the Pacifica National Board would be a minority, only 5 out of 15 people on the board. It favors paid staff over unpaid staff, thus introducing sort of a second-class system for unpaid staff. It also manages, while it does that, it also manages to reduce the overall percentage of staff representation on the Pacifica National Board. It also reduces the percentage of affiliate representation on the Pacifica National Board. It also makes provision for 4 officers who will be on the PNB and will be voted on separately in a Pacifica-wide election. They will represent whatever faction has the ability to get out the most votes in a winner-takes-all election. There is no room for minority representation in such a vote, even if the minority gets 49% of the vote. Finally, there are 3 at-large directors that will be selected by the rest of the board. So think about it. If there's a small majority on the rest of the board, that majority will select their handpicked 3 directors to make sure they have not just a small majority, but a supermajority. And with a supermajority, you could do all sorts of things. So in sum, these amendments are proposing a return to a centralized, self-selecting board structure like Pacifica used to have before 2002. And finally, I have to say that the rationale that's being thrown out for why these bylaws amendments are needed are based on the same kind of distorted and narrative, disinformation campaign that was behind the last one, namely that Pacifica's financial crisis cannot be dealt with by our current governing structure, that our Pacifica National Board is, quote, dysfunctional. The LSBs are dysfunctional. It's a word that the people sponsoring this like to use over and over again. And they also try to panic people by saying, unless you support these bylaws amendments, the sky is going to fall like tomorrow. It's the same attempt to panic members into choosing an authoritarian solution that we saw in the last referendum. And this kind of tactic is reminiscent of something that Naomi Klein talked about in her book, The Shock Doctrine. Now, while it's true that Pacifica does face a serious financial crisis,
It's completely false to say that the PNB is dysfunctional or that our LSBs are dysfunctional. Those who are making this claim are confusing the rough and tumble of debates among members with strongly held opinions with chaos. It's simply an example of democracy at work, which is sometimes messy. They also ignore all the work that has been accomplished by the Pacifica National Board and the LSBs in the last 3 years toward getting our financial affairs in order. Let me repeat, we finished our 2018 audit. We're on track to finish our 2019 audit, in which case we will be caught up. Furthermore, there's no basis for believing that this hand-picked transitional board that is named in the new bylaws will be any better at solving our financial problems than the current Pacifica National Board. On the contrary, I believe that given the track record of some of the individuals behind this new bylaws proposal, and that track record includes supporting the shutdown of WBAI, something which, in addition to the trauma it caused staff and listeners, cost Pacifica something like $500,000. They also supported bankruptcy as a, quote, solution to Pacifica's problems. And they also supported at one time or another the sale or swap of the signal of our Washington station, WPFW.
So, 30 seconds.
So anyway, there's plenty of evidence that this transitional board is going to be a disaster. And it's based on the elitist notion that the listeners and staff should not have anything to do with the governance of Pacifica. And I sincerely urge anybody who receives the Pacifica New Day petition, please do not sign this petition. Please do not commit Pacifica toward having another $150,000 referendum. Thank you.
Marilyn, do you have a question or a comment on Alex's report?
Well, I would like to ask or have Alex explain a little bit more about how critical it is that we did have a new bylaws amendment made it necessary to get 5% of the members instead of 1% in order to have a referendum. And I wonder what the time frame is for these characters to get that 5% and what we're looking at here in terms of what needs to be done or what might not have to be done or and so on. I mean, is that known yet, Alex?
Well, we don't. There's no time frame because they haven't submitted a petition at this point. But so when and if they do submit a petition, we will vet that petition. We have a national election supervisor already in place to do this, and we'll determine whether they receive the 5% of the membership or not. And if they receive the 5%, then unfortunately this will have to go for a membership referendum, and we will have to bear the costs of that. I can also tell you that the people pushing this petition don't believe they are required to stand by the 5% threshold. They think they can get away with a 1% threshold. I think they're terribly wrong about that because we recently did pass a bylaws amendment so that a 5% threshold is now a requirement. But there have been noises about going to court over this.
But they are, I mean, I'm asked, but what I don't understand is there a petition being circulated now that we know of?
Yes, there is absolutely a petition being circulated. If you receive the New Day for Pacifica email, there's a link on it that takes you to an electronic petition.
Okay, all right. I didn't get one of those. Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you, Alex Steinberg, for that report. It is 10:29 here at WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, and we're streaming at WBAI.org. This is a report from the WBAI Local Station Board. My name is Sean Rhodes. I'm your facilitator today. This month, we're presenting various members of the LSB. In this hour, we've heard from Marilyn Vogt Downey and Alex Steinberg. And now it's time to hear from you. Phones are working again, so we're now taking your calls at 212-209-2877. Again, that's 212-209-2877. Max, do we have any callers lined up yet?
What is that music? I'm answering calls. Yes, there are calls coming in, but I've only picked up one of them so far.
Okay, I'll go to that one and then give you time to get the others lined up. Thank you. Okay, WBAI, you're on the air. Yeah, hello. Caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Is this me?
You're on the air.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I think it's really important that the IPD give some airtime to discuss this petition because, as Marilyn said, she didn't receive it. I did. And I think that not everyone is on that email list, so I think it's really important that the IPD gives airtime so that LSB members can fully discuss the proposals, and I'm wondering if listeners will get to vote on it, the new proposed bylaws. I also wanted to have the listeners know that I received an email from the general manager of WBAI about a week and a half ago after I donated money, and in that email, I was called a zealot, a fanatic, and a bully, and I made that public information, so I want the listeners to know that this occurred. I feel that this was unprofessional and very disrespectful, and he called me these names because I expressed my deep concern for the lack of coverage of how young children are being taken care of during this pandemic in terms of New York City-funded child care. I run one for the city, and it has not been covered well on WBAI. So I just wanted to express those items, and I thank you for your time. My last thought is that we need to fire the call center because we have lost thousands upon thousands of revenue because of this dysfunctionality. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your call. Marilyn or Alex, you care to address any of the statements that were made?
I can't address. I mean, this is just accusations. I know nothing about. I can't address it.
Marilyn.
I would say I can understand why the listener is concerned about the call center because of the fact that it costs the station a lot of money for us. I used to have a lot of problems with the call center about a year ago, but I haven't had any trouble with the call center recently. In the past year, they have been quite efficient. I think it would be a good idea, like I'm sure the listener does, that if we could return to the old way we used to do it at 120 Wall Street, where we had listeners come in and volunteer to take calls during the fund drives. That would be wonderful, but of course that was hard for us before the pandemic, and now it would be, I'm not going to say impossible, but it would be quite a challenge. So I sympathize, but at this point, certainly we have no option.
Okay, thank you. Let's take the next caller. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Am I on the air?
You're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I've been listening to your station since the early 1980s, and I just wanted to know if you folks could make a commitment tonight to significantly reduce the number of technical glitches that frequently occur during programming, especially in the evening. I'll tune in to a show at 8, 9 p.m. or at midnight. And the show might be delayed by 10, 15 minutes or so for some reason. And the engineer just has to basically air some music while they're trying to establish a connection. And I just think it's for a station that's been around since 1961, I find your operations are frequently extremely unprofessional and amateurish. I think having been on the air for over 50 years, you should know how to operate a station competently. And the number of technical glitches, I just find, even with a pandemic, I realize it's harder now, more difficult for you. But I just think it makes for terrible radio. When a program is listed as going on at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., it should go on at 8 or 9 p.m., and I shouldn't have to hear an engineer play music for 10 or 15 minutes while they struggle to get that producer's program on the air. I just think it's very unacceptable, and especially when you're constantly begging people for money, you have an obligation to meet a minimum threshold of competence in terms of just technical skill.
Sean, I would like to address this. I would like to address this, if I may take engineering privilege.
I would like you to address that, Max. Go ahead.
All right. I wouldn't be surprised if this gentleman is talking about Bob Pass's program last night. Or, you know,
That's one.
All right. Well,
you know, off the hook.
Here's the thing. All right. And in both cases, the producers did not connect properly to the station. The station was here ready to receive their input, and they were not properly connected to the station. That's what happens when you hear 10-minute gaps as we try to establish contact. Bob Pass is in, what, North Carolina? He's down south somewhere and sends his program in. In the last month or two, he's had a much better hookup, the same hookup we use to bring our remote engineers in from their homes where they are working from home. So Bob is on there, and apparently he was not properly hooked up last night. Off the hook, same thing. They were trying to call in through one of the devices that we have to bring the signal in from all over. I mean, we have no one, with two exceptions, coming in to do programming at the radio station. We have an engineer who sits here and two who sit at home. And we are dealing entirely remotely. And sometimes there are difficulties making the connection, especially during the pandemic.
Yeah, thank you, Max. I think you should not underestimate how much more difficult it is to work under conditions of this pandemic when we have virtually none of the producers are actually coming into the station. They're all trying to either hook up remotely or bring a pre-recorded show. It's much, much more difficult. And we have just a bare, to call it a skeleton staff in the studio would be an overstatement. It's even less than a skeleton staff. But somehow we're functioning, which I find is amazing.
Could I come in too, Sean?
I'll let Marilyn answer, and then I'll say a few closing words, and then we'll move on to the next call. Go ahead, Marilyn.
I just want to say I sympathize with the listener, and I can understand what he's talking about, but I just want him to know that we're not the only station having such problems. And for example, KCR, the Columbia station, they're solving the problem by having everything pre-recorded, and they just run things over again. You know, we aren't doing anything of that sort. We have producers who are still producing their programs, and they're on a regular grid, except for many of the preemptions that have happened. But still, we have our same producers, but they're all working at home, and we haven't had this problem before. And you could expect there to be some glitches, like Max talked about. But I think, generally speaking, we're doing a wonderful job. I mean, I don't think I'm being too kind. I think it's quite amazing.
Let me just add here, before going on to the next call, I agree with Marilyn that I can understand the caller's frustration. But as Max illustrated, it's not always the fault of the engineer. In the two cases that you were mentioning and that Max cited, the problem was on the producer's end. Well, the engineer can't do anything about that if the problem is emanating from the producer's end. So that's why you're hearing music. And this body here of board members can't make a pledge to to do what you're asking, which is make a commitment to improve the technical quality. That's beyond our purview. But again, these things do happen from time to time. It's not a 24/7 occurrence. So that's all I'll say. Let's move on to the next caller. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening. Thanks very much. I can understand the prior caller's critiques there, but I just want to remind them, if possible, that this is a listener-supported network, and unfortunately, because of the way it's set up, there is just not enough to have a staff that is going to be coming in on time every day for a regular job. You have very few people that are actually making money out of this, have salary, are getting paid for their work. So I just want to let the viewers know that. And there's been an improvement. I mean, I remember in the past where I would tune in sometimes, and there would be dead space. Dead space. That doesn't happen anymore. So there has been improvements. And I ask everybody to just keep their, you know, keep their, just take consideration. Keep it in abeyance when you have your complaints. It's understandable, but you guys are doing the best you can. Now, well, with that preface there, I just wanted to say, listen, I'm so sorry. I apologize because I tuned in late to the program. So I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't have a computer. I'm off the grid deliberately. I don't even have a cell phone. I have a plug-in wall unit. And I made contributions over the years of thousands of dollars, literally. My name is Doug, and I'm from Staten Island. I don't know anything about what you're talking about with this a board trying to take over. Is this something like what happened last October? Could you please reprise that just a little bit for my edification and tell me how I might get involved in this through the mail, because I don't have an email either?
Okay, that sounds like a question that Alex can answer. Alex?
It's kind of related to what happened in October, but it's also more to the point related to what happened in March when we had a referendum for a new set of bylaws that would take away Pacifica's governance structure and saddle us with essentially a self-appointed board. That referendum lost by a 2-to-1 margin, but before it went down in flames like that, it cost Pacifica $150,000 to do all the things required to have mailing sent out to all the members and all that stuff. It's mostly the same people, not completely, but it's mostly the same people who are trying to do this again. In less than 6 months since the last referendum failed, and I hope that it doesn't come to another referendum. They're going to have to get the signatures of 5% of the members in order to have a referendum. I hope they don't get it, but you never know. And we have to be prepared in any case. So what you should do, just stay informed. And if you
don't sign that petition.
And don't sign a petition.
I don't have any petition. I don't have
okay,
but
then,
nothing's been,
then you're good.
Again, I don't have a computer or anything of this nature, so I'm just wondering what is the basis for their referendum there? Is it the exact same thing that they tried to pursue illegally? Well, not illegally, but
not exactly the same, but it amounts to pretty much the same thing. It's a different formula for how they want to elect the national board. They're going to take away any kind of oversight capabilities of the local boards. So Marilyn, who's a representative of the local board, will not be able to evaluate management again next year if a referendum comes to pass and it actually is accepted. There won't be any local input into programming, into management evaluation. And there'll be a centralized Pacifica board of directors, and you can be sure that WBAI's representatives will be a tiny minority on that board of directors, and it's not going to be good. Let's put it that way.
Is it a yes or no petition, or is it just a yes petition?
The petition itself is you either sign it or you don't. So my recommendation is don't.
Okay, well, I don't even have one, so I guess I won't be able to. I thought maybe showing a negative that I'm dismissive of it, that I don't want it, would be helpful. But you're saying,
well, if the petition succeeds, then there'll be a mailing to all the members, and then you can say yes, I want these new bylaws, or no, I don't want these new bylaws. But I'm hoping it doesn't get to that point.
It's a petition initially.
Do you have any other calls? More calls.
Yes, that caller, that's the crux of the issue. Yes, at this point. And then should they get the signatures that they need, it would come, we'll take it to the next level, and then that will require a new set of action. But for now,
I understand.
That's where we are.
Just a referendum. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's go to the next caller.
All right, this next caller is our last caller that we have on hold at the moment. So 212-209-2877 if you would like to call in and speak with the local station board. And here's the caller.
All right, WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello, good evening. I hope this doesn't sound too esoteric. I'm calling in reference to the fact that BAI, I've been listening since it went on the air, always was referred to as Peace and Justice Radio, and it still says it on the radio when the letters come up, but I notice nobody says it in the station anymore. Is there any reason for that? I notice you say anti-corporate, you say community, listener-sponsored, and buddy, but you never say Peace and Justice anymore.
Peace and Justice.
Yeah, which is what I... Peace and Justice Radio. That's what it used to be called.
People just have other things they say. We can say that sometimes. We have no problem with that. Thanks for reminding us.
Yeah, but nobody says it. That's why. Why don't you say it anymore?
So you're bringing it up, and that's good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We should.
All right. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877 if you want to talk to board members here. Marilyn Vogt Downey, Alex Steinberg. Do we have another caller?
Caller, go ahead.
Hey.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Am I audible?
You're audible.
Okay. I'm just interested to have... to hear your take on this. I understand that, like, this earlier this year, there was like a sort of corporate coup d'etat attempt at WBAI. And I know that when I was growing up, I used to listen to NPR. I used to think like, wow, now this is independent, la-di-da. And that's not exactly the case, right? So could you just lay it out for me and for anyone else who's interested to know, like, what is it that really separates what WBAI is from something like NPR, which, you know, is at the very least a little bit influenced by some corporate interests?
Well, that's a question.
That's in a nutshell. They have the corporate sponsors. We don't. We're at liberty to say whatever we want without being beholden to corporate interest.
We have free speech radio. We don't have any corporations telling us what we... If you listen to NPR, you can really tell. They only go so far with covering things. They will have some revelations from time to time, but politically, they'll never talk about capitalism or the class struggle or the need for revolution or socialism. Or they really won't even talk about dramatic changes in the country that would make it better. They're liberals, really, but they're always telling you who's telling them what to say. Every time they have a station break, they say this is brought to you by, and they'll tell you who's sponsoring their station. We don't have that, and you can tell the difference. Surely you can tell.
Yeah, we are not controlled by any corporate interests. We don't take any corporate money, and. We are solidly, we take a solidly left position. I know some people don't like to hear that, but that we are the only, Pacifica is the only major media organization in the country that stood up and defended Julian Assange, for instance.
And one of our producers, Randy Credico, has done a number of programs featuring Mr. Assange. And the treatment he has received by not only the mainstream media like the New York Times, but NPR, I mean, he's been branded virtually a criminal by them, as has Edward Snowden for the most part. We don't do that. We recognize that these people are really heroes. They're journalists who are telling the truth about the corruption and crimes of our government and of other governments. And that's something. I mean, you could say that maybe 40 years ago, when the New York Times published the Pentagon Papers, the New York Times, the Washington Post published the Pentagon Papers, they took a courageous stand at the time. Well, things have changed a lot at the New York Times and the establishment media since those days. They would never do anything like that today. We're it. If you want to know what the alternative viewpoint is, this is from a left peace and justice class position, racial equality position, then this is where you go.
Indeed it is. And I want to thank you so much for being that. My daughter is growing up. She's just a little baby now. But I know that you guys are going to continue to be a light shining truth in a very murky disinformation scape. So I bless you, and I encourage anyone listening to donate money to support this beautiful initiative.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. I'm honored to Max, donate and support you guys. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. Max, do we have any other callers?
We have two or three more.
Oh, boy. Let's try to squeeze in one more in this hour because we got to start the next panel at the top of the hour. All right, so you're the last caller for this panel. WBAI, you're on the air. It's you. Hey, hello.
All right, let's try this one.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes.
You're the last one for this hour. Speak your piece.
That's beautiful. I love to carry up the caboose in the rear of the line. This is JB. I hail from Brooklyn. I'm currently in Central Jersey hell, Monmouth County, Crimson Red Trump territory. But anyway, I just want to say I am absolutely against any kind of bylaw revision to limit the Democratic input of BAI listeners and members, unequivocally. That being said, I also would like to hear different voices on these type of activities. It's like the same old voices every time. What can be done? This makes us very vulnerable to external interests. When, in fact, the debate in WBAI governance is less open than in Mitch McConnell's Republican Senate. It makes no sense.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, listener. But
of course you do not. It's the same old voices. That's why. When you talk to yourself, it's like Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi will tell you she's the most liberal thing on the planet because she talks to herself and then gets internal feedback.
Well, we don't just talk to ourselves. We have listener comments at all the local board meetings. We've had town hall meetings. I don't think that's just correct what you're saying.
And we have some new programs. In addition to the old programs, we have, for example, revolutions.
I'm talking about governance. I listen to an entire.
Have you ever been to a local station board meeting?
I have.
Okay. So how can you say there's one voice? There's usually some pretty contentious
discussions on the local station board about all sorts of issues. People don't agree on everything, nor should they.
No, we don't have the factional rights we used to have.
Well, peace and justice. Well, I agree with the prior caller then. I will say, mention peace and justice and mean it. If that would be a monumental revolutionary goal compared to the some of the autocratic activity that's happened in the station the last several months. Okay, say peace and justice and mean it, and maybe we won't be so susceptible to external interests looking to undermine and infiltrate our station.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. All right, so it's time to wrap up this panel. You've been listening to the third report of 2020 from the WBI Local Station Board. I'm Sean Rhodes. I'm the facilitator this month, and we've heard from Marilyn Vogt Downey and Alex Steinberg. At this time, let me give you some information about some upcoming meetings that may be of interest to you. The full schedule of PNB and local station board teleconference meetings is available at kpftx.org, and the stream of those meetings can also be heard there. So on Thursday, September 3rd at 8:30 p.m., there will be a PNB meeting, and that will be streamed. On Wednesday, September 9th at 7 p.m. will be the WBAI local station board meeting, and listen to these airwaves for announcements about how you can call into that and make your comment during public comment section. And then on Wednesday, September 16th at 7 p.m., there will be the WBAI Finance Committee meeting. And for those who would like to get more information about the LSB, you can visit www.wbai.org/LSBindex. lsbindex.php. To join the LSB's public listserv, in which you can read posts and discussion among LSB members, send a blank email message to wbai-lsb-public-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Let me give that again. wbai-lsb-public-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. And if you'd like to do it the old-fashioned way and send letters, you can write Local Station Board, WBAI, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. And for those who missed the July LSB report because we lost our signal to the terrestrial radio, but we still continued on the internet, an edited version of the show is available on WBAI.org under the recently aired shows section on the front page of the site. All right. So that being said, I'd like to thank Marilyn Vogt Downey and Alex Steinberg once again for their participation. And I encourage those listening to continue listening, because in the second hour, we're going to have a whole new panel of board directors who will speak to you and take your questions. Okay, Max, on your end.
Thank you, Max. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Sean.
Okay. Thank you and good night.
BAI in New York, 99.5 FM, streaming at www.wbai.org.
Hello, this is a report from the WBAI Local Station Board. Every month, different members of the local board will inform the community on the matters of WBAI, and members of the community will have the chance to call in and share their ideas on how to build a stronger WBAI. The license for WBAI is held by the Pacifica Foundation, which holds the license for four other community radio stations and has around 200 affiliates across the U.S. Founded by pacifists after World War II in 1949, the Pacifica mission calls for radio that fosters understanding amongst nations and individuals, encourages creativity, and promotes innovative, uncensored distribution of news. WBAI became a part of Pacifica in 1960. The revised Pacifica bylaws of 2003 brought us the first governing local station boards to be elected by listeners and staff, initiating an era of increased inclusion, participation, accountability, and transparency throughout the network. The Local Station Board, or LSB, is a subcommittee of the Pacifica Board of Directors and has specific powers and responsibilities. For more information about WBAI and Pacifica, please visit WBAI.org. Thank you for tuning in to this report from the WBAI Local Station Board.
All right. It is 11 p.m. here at WBAI in New York, 99.5 on your FM dial, and we're streaming at WBAI.org. This is the third report of 2020 from the WBAI Local Station Board. My name is Sean Rhodes. I'm your facilitator today. This month, we're presenting various members of the LSB. The LSB members joining us in this hour are Max Schmid. Say hello, Max.
Why, hello.
And Amy Wilson. Amy?
Hi, Sean. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. Now, Max and Amy are both staff delegates, which means they were elected by the WBAI staff to represent them on the LSB. So let's start with Max Schmid.
Oh, thank you. Well, this is my third or fourth time on the board. In the past, I have termed out after serving, what, six? Is it 6 years? We get to serve before we have to take a break. And I've been a representative elected by the staff to serve on the board. And what I think I bring to the board is my 40-plus years of being a laborer at this radio station, first as a producer and later, and for the last 20-plus years, as a board operator and other functionary in the operations department. So when new folks come to the board and say, hey, I have a great idea, I have the institutional knowledge to say, yeah, we tried that 30 years ago, and it didn't work then, it's not going to work now. Just for an example, people are always saying we should put on more concerts. Well, they're great for outreach, but they are labor-intensive and make virtually no money for the station. So, I don't know. My experience teaches me things like this. Now, also, during my latest term on the board, before the pandemic, I used to take one night a month off and go to the board meeting, wherever it happened to be. But since then, I am here at the radio station, often engineering a live program while a board meeting is on. We have no camera, and I can't speak at these meetings because to do so would mean that I would be going out over the radio station. So my participation is more as an observer lately. I was even elected to the, program director search committee, but I have been unable to attend meetings due to the fact that the meetings are always held while I'm at work. So I don't have a lot to report of actual accomplishments in that regard. However, I would like to return to what Alex was talking about earlier in his presentation in the first hour, of the email blast from the Pacifica Foundation, some good news from Pacifica in August 2020, which I'm sure you can find at pacifica.org if you didn't get it in your own email. And let's see, Alex covered the Paycheck Protection Plan, a $1.2 million grant from the U.S. government. And we also have applied for an economic injury disaster loan, long-term loan with low interest rates. So that is pending. The audits which have prevented Pacifica from receiving grant money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Yes, you have to show a modicum of responsibility throughout the network to receive funding from entities such as the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, Pacifica. And I won't mention the West Coast stations that have held up the audits, but they are out there and are populated by some of the same people trying to change the bylaws to seemingly attempting to bankrupt the network. Well, the audits for fiscal 2018 has been completed, and fiscal 2019 is underway. And when those are done, not only will we be eligible for funding from CPB, but it will also mean we can go to other people who give grants in the local area with an up-to-date audit, which is something that we have not had for way, way too long. And that impedes our ability to get grants and public money to operate the radio station. Let's see. Yes, well, here's something. WBAI, you may have noticed, is undergoing a new form of fundraising. We are no longer devoting 5 or 6 weeks to a full-scale assault with constant fundraising, but instead have moved fundraising to different hours every day for a few hours, and leaving regular programs intact for the most part, except once a month. Most programs are required to do some fundraising and make an effort to raise money as if it was a fund drive. But otherwise, the fundraising has been cut back. It will be an everyday affair now, but it will not be constant as it has been for much too much of our recent history. Let's see. And if you would like to make a pledge, by the way, 516-620-3602 to reach our call center and become a WBAI buddy. Why not be a buddy in the name of the local station board? That'd be novel. Let's see. Here's another interesting fact. The IED came across $27,000 in a PayPal account that we forgot about. So there's found money. And let's see. The pension plans, which have been not properly funded, leading to big trouble, are now being caught up on. And Pacifica recently paid a debt of $137,000 to the CPB that they overpaid us, and they wanted it back. Unfortunately, given our financial state, we didn't have it to give back, so we have made a repayment which will help us, along with the audits, to get CPB funding in the future. Another disaster narrowly averted was the KPFA building, which seems that the same folks... Well, the financial folks out at KPFA forgot to file for their nonprofit status on their building and were being taxed as if it was a regular for-profit real estate building. So that had to be addressed quickly because they were on the auction block, but apparently that has been remedied. What else is going on around Pacifica? Well, as I say, you can find this on the Pacifica.org website and read it over for yourself. Oh, yes, we have a coronavirus task force, which currently, for a month, we were producing daily programming across the network. The five member stations each took a day. Now it is seems to be reduced to once a week. And currently heard at, what, 5 a.m.? Is it Wednesday morning or Thursday morning? Well, check the grid at WBAI.org and look for COVID, Race, and Democracy. That's the name of the COVID-related programming. It takes in hosts and producers from all the stations. I heard Michio Kaku on there recently. And so it's a compendium of COVID-related programming from the five stations in an hourly format once a week. National town meetings, one was held, and more are planned from Pacifica. The local station board is supposed to hold some town meetings. I'm not sure where we stand with that or how we would actually accomplish that, probably virtually. And Pacifica has Pacifica Foundation TV on YouTube. So if you ever want to take a look at Pacifica Radio, go to Pacifica Foundation TV on YouTube and see what's there. I haven't looked at it, so I don't know what's there. Of course, we just had national coverage of the Democratic and Republican bond rallies. Mitch Jeserich holding down the fort. Contributions from each of the stations. And I guess we'll be doing the same come Election Day, even though there won't be anything to report. Speaking of nothing to report, I think I'm about done. So okay. I'm going to turn it back over to Sean Rhodes.
Okay. Amy, do you have a question or comment on Max's report?
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks, Max, for that report, and thanks for giving the listeners some of your background on WBAI, and as you say, the institutional knowledge that you have of the station. I'm curious, you know, just to inject some positivity into the proceedings, you know, what would you say, Max, have been positive developments that we've seen at WBAI, say, in the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 years?
At the radio station or on the board? First, let me start with the board, where we have an influx of new and younger people being elected to the board from staff and from listeners. So I think that's a welcome change and also helps to break up the, you know, the loggerheads of the two largely competing parties who have made board meetings almost impossible to sit through or get anything done at. So that's a positive change. I do kind of like our new fundraising tactic, which, if it proves successful, will at least prevent the station from sounding like it's constantly asking for money rather than just half the time. So that's an improvement. A lot of good new programs have been introduced to the station. We may have the best local politics coverage in the 5 o'clock strip, 5 p.m. We have a lot of great programs touching on city politics. So that's an improvement. And, of course, I have two programs on the air, and that's a great improvement.
Okay. Well, thank you, Max Schmid, for that report. It is 11:13 here at WBAI in New York, 99.5 on your FM dial, and we're streaming at www.wbai.org. Normally at this time, you'd be listening to BBO Radio with Craig Lewis and Theo Wilson. But, oops, sorry, let me stop this here, my timer. But that is not on today. It will be back next week. This is a report from the WBAI Local Station Board. My name is Sean Rhodes. I'm your facilitator today, and this month we're presenting various members of the LSB. We just got through listening to a report from Max Schmid. Now let's hear from Amy Wilson.
Hi. Thanks, Sean, for having me, and thanks, Max, for sharing the hour with me. My name is Amy Wilson. I'm a staff representative to the WBAI Local Station Board, representing our show Revolutions Per Minute, which is broadcast on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock, hosted and produced by the members of the New York City Democratic Socialists of America. I've been serving on the WBAI Local Station Board for 9 months or so now. Our first meeting was in December of 2019. It's amazing to think about how much has changed, not only at the station, but in the world since that time, in a relatively short time. I'll speak a little bit about my background and how I came to be on the local station board of a radio station. I am currently a master's student at City University in their labor studies program. I've been a member of the Democratic Socialists of America for about 2.5 years, and I organize with them regularly. And I also spent a lot of my young adult years in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which has a wonderful sort of hybrid college and community station called WCBN, which is in the freeform model, which WBAI was on the cutting edge of pioneering that form. So I have great respect for freeform radio, which is part of what draws me to WBAI. And as a democratic socialist, I also have great respect for participatory democracy and community control over institutions. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is and spending the time each month to participate in local station board meetings and read up on all the various emails that fly by when you're serving in this type of role. And I can attest that Max does a great job of participating in the meetings and following along, even though he is always multitasking. Some of the, updates or concerns that I'll speak on hopefully haven't been covered too thoroughly already on this show. I will say that as a volunteer host and producer on WBAI, I have been very impressed with the station's response to the coronavirus pandemic and its move to remote broadcasting, which is not easy, I would imagine, for the people who were involved with that on the technical side. So I want to just express my appreciation for everybody who's been involved with keeping that running. It's pretty amazing what the folks have been able to pull off, even though, of course, there's been some hiccups. That's to be expected when you're navigating unexpected technical terrain on live air, right? That's just what happens. I want to particularly give a shout out to our regular engineer, who is Reggie Johnson, who does an amazing job with us on Revolutions Per Minute. We consider him part of our, I guess you could say, part of our extended family with Revolutions Per Minute, and we've been really happy to be working with him. In terms of the local station board and what I see as maybe next steps for the local station board or things that we could work to improve in the coming months and years, there was a comment from a listener in our public comment period in the most recent meeting where the listener expressed a wish to have more publicly available WBAI marketing and communications materials. They suggested actually something as simple as a PDF that could be hosted on our website and you could print it out yourself and put it up in your, whatever it may be, communal home, outside of your coffee shop where you socially distance to get your coffee or wherever it may be. And I thought that was a really nice idea in terms of involving the WBAI community and raising the profile of the station and giving folks something they can do concretely to help WBAI. So in the off chance that that listener is listening tonight, I thank you for that comment. I'm also interested in democracy where it comes to programming and programming decisions. I think that the programming that we currently, the local programming, especially that we currently have on WBAI is impressive. And that this is one of the most certainly racially and ethnically diverse environments I've been in my life as an organizer and artist and radio host and all these other things that I am. But, you know, there's always room for improvement. And I would love to see a show that focused more strongly on labor, labor consciousness and labor issues, considering what's going on in the news right now. The NBA walking out on strike this week, that's huge news. We anticipate more big news. Teachers in New York City potentially going out on strike over safe school reopening. So we're just going to see more labor news locally and nationally in the coming months and years. And it would be great to have a program or two that kind of focused on that specifically. When we've had the opportunity to do labor-focused shows on Revolutions Per Minute, we've had a good response from the audience. And sometimes we get folks calling in to ask, you know, pretty basic, or just questions because they want help with a workplace organizing issue. So, you know, that could be a potential format for a show like that, is people bringing organizing questions to experienced organizers and really just getting that information out there in a democratized way. So, you know, that's just a couple of the things that are on my mind. I'm not sure quite how I'm doing for time, but I've come to the end of the most pressing issues that I wanted to comment on in this show. So I'm ready to turn it back over to you, Sean. And thanks again for giving me this space and time to discuss the radio station.
Okay. Well, actually, you had 3 minutes and 40 seconds, so not to worry. I'll ask Max, do you have a question or comment on Amy's report?
No, I'm good. I'm ready to tackle some listener phone calls.
Okay. So let me give a station ID and show ID, and then after that, we'll take the listener calls. All right. So it is now 11:21 here at WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, and we're streaming at WBAI.org. This is a report from the WBAI Local Station Board. My name is Sean Rhodes. I'm your facilitator today. This month, we're presenting various members of the LSB. In this hour, we've heard from staff delegates Max Schmid and Amy Wilson. And now it's time to hear from you. We're taking your calls at 212-209-2877. Again, that's 212-209-2877. Max, do we have anyone, or do you need more time to line them up?
I need more time for them to start dialing. There is not a call in sight.
Oh, okay. All right.
212-209-2877.
And again, this is the third report of 2020 from the WBAI Local Station Board. In this hour, again, we've heard from staff delegates Max Schmid and Amy Wilson. In the first hour, we heard from listener delegates Marilyn Vogt Downey and Alex Steinberg. And we're taking your calls now. So anyone who likes to share their thoughts or comments with the staff delegates, Max Schmid and Amy Wilson, now's the time to do so. I'm Sean Rhodes. I'm your facilitator today. And these shows have been airing on a monthly basis, June, July, and August. I'll share with you that our next show will be in September, and we'll be starting a new rotation at that time. We're going to be rotating a different day of the week, but the continuity will be that it'll be the last week of the month, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Mm.
And we start that Wednesday, September 30th. So that's the next time we'll be on the air. So you could be on the lookout for announcements regarding that.
Well, we have some calls now. We have three calls, and a fourth one is coming in.
Excellent. Okay, let's take the first one. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi. My comments are going to be a little bit odd because I'm very much off the grid, and I appreciate another person calling in the last period who's also off the grid. One comment is I would like to be a BAI buddy, but because I'm off the grid, I don't know how to do that.
Mm.
And you might want to. The other thing is for Amy, I have the same problem with being able to communicate with DSA or become a member of DSA for the same reason. At this point in my life, I've lost because of changes about 2/3 of my income, which was as an independent book dealer.
Yeah.
I have no customers. And most of the people I've dealt with, I can't deal with right now. On the other hand,
let me make a suggestion.
There must be some way I should be able to be a buddy, but can't because my only income is off the grid. I get my Social Security in a very unusual way. I do not, but completely legal, I should add. I don't have a bank account and don't want a bank account, which means I can't be a buddy. If I chose to be a buddy, it would be for Henderson's program, which is, I think, the best thing on. I'm sorry, it's not, and it's a problem I have to, it's my problem, but I'd like to be more helpful than I can be right now. Also, there's a problem that I have because of my general political point of view that Amy may be concerned about. I was a member of DSA when it was DSO, Democratic Socialized Organizing, Socialist Organizing Committee, mm-hmm. but I found myself so often in the left opposition mm-hmm. that my presence there would not be helpful to an organization I'd like to be helpful to. In terms of labor history, I was a student of David Montgomery, who I'm sure you know who he is.
Mm-hmm. And, well, let me ask you, if I may, have you ever listened to our program, Revolutions for Minute? We've been on since January.
Regularly, and I've called in sometimes.
Oh, great. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I think that's the best way to stay abreast with what DSA is today. And we definitely do hear from people who have familiarity with our organization from many years back and tell us things that have changed. So it's always interesting to hear from folks like that. And if I may offer a suggestion regarding becoming a BAI buddy, I wonder if there's anybody in your life who does have a bank account and maybe who could become a buddy and you hand them an envelope full of cash or whatever would work for you, but maybe you could use a proxy if that might work.
That's a good suggestion. I'm thinking about a couple possible candidates for that. I also, and this may be something of interest to Amy in terms of Democratic Socialists of America. I have thought that I might be of use to them and to people who want to be organizers of unions. I was at one time a student of David Montgomery by accident, because I wound up going to the University of Pittsburgh when he was still a teacher there, or a professor mm-hmm. of labor history. And so things work out in funny ways. I'm supportive of both in a somewhat oppositional way of both DSA, because I think there's a sameness to DSA in New York among the membership, both culturally and experientially, which is not the same as my own background.
Hmm.
Which means I would always be somewhat oppositional. And I don't like to play that role, even though I don't mind being oppositional. It's not a helpful role right now in a situation. I think I'm taking up too much time now on the air. But it's a situation.
I was going to suggest that, if you could wrap it up, because there are people waiting to get on.
Well, I realize that. So I'd like to somehow stay in touch, but I'm not quite sure how, but I will try. But Amy, your suggestion, I think, is an excellent one. I'm thinking about someone who might be willing, so I could at least donate money instead of just take up time.
Well, I am so glad to hear that, and I'm very glad to hear that you're interested in supporting the station. Thanks so much for calling, and thank you for your words about DSA. I'm always interested to hear what people have to say about it.
Okay, I'm going to hang up now, unless you have another anyone.
All right, thank you for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Max, let's go to the next one.
Hi.
Caller, go ahead.
Hi,
caller number two.
Judith Ackerman from the Upper West Side. I just want to thank you for the programming, especially the early mornings. I'm getting up real early every morning now because the programmings are fantastic. And I also feel that I would like us to get rid of that 516 fundraising, collection or whatever it is, and go back to having members do that after this plague is over. I would love it if an arrangement could be made that members could of the station could come in and sit at the phones and receive the pledges. I think it would be saving a great deal of money and also more efficiently done, because the people at 516 are not truly invested in the well-being of our station, and they take too long. People that call in to make a pledge have to wait a very long time. I went through quite an ordeal to become a $10 a month buddy. I had to call about four times and over a long period of time. They just never did anything correctly, and someone in the station finally took care of it for me. Thank you for everything. This, especially during this plague, the station has been my lifeline. I just live from program to program, and the only time I'm on another station is when you're doing your the health stuff, which kind of bores me. But thank you so much.
Thank you for your perseverance, and thank you for your support. Amy or Max, you want to address Ms. Cohen?
I'd just like to say, Ms. Ackerman, I wonder if you're the same person who called in to our public comment in the last LSB meeting just to say thank you for the programming. Was that you?
I think she got off the call.
Oh, man. I think it was her. And that was a very nice moment, spot of bright light in that LSB meeting.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to the next caller. WPAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, me?
It's you.
Okay, St. Clair Jackson, I just want to know, number one, can you tell me the number of listeners you have in the tri-state area? Can you pinpoint that active listeners today?
Yes, indeed. I do not have that information.
Approximately?
More than 20?
Less than 25?
Oh, boy. Well, my idea was if we could have, like, a way of raising some more funds. We can have one day where we tell all the listeners, like if there's 1,000, 10,000, 25,000, one day everybody do a Blitz fund drive, one day everybody donate $10.
Well, we try that on an hourly basis to degree of success.
You know, announce that just one particular day out of a month, we're all going to drop in $10, all the listeners in the tri-state area, on one particular day.
That would certainly raise a big pile of money, for sure.
Well, that's something to consider and, you know, relay to management.
Yes, the idea. And also the call center, I agree with the other callers who complained. I called in for a premium, and they couldn't even find it. They couldn't even find it. I did it more than three times. They couldn't find it. They told me they'll send a message down to the station to see if they can find it, you know. So that was a terrible experience with the...
Well, here's a tip. You can always try going to the WBAI website, give2wbai.org, and find it yourself. Then you can give them the code number and everything, or order it online.
Well, I tried. I looked for the special. I couldn't find it. It was about the A lady came on Blondale's show. It was a special. She was offering the financial package, and her name was Steeler. And they couldn't find it. And I went to the website to try to find it. I couldn't find it there either.
Do you remember which program it was?
Yeah, it was a special by Blondale.
I don't know how they could not find those. Those are our big money makers.
I know. It was about 2 weeks ago. I gave her the title of the financial package, and I gave her the lady that was sponsoring it, which was Mrs. Steeler, and they couldn't find it. Called back three times in all. They couldn't find it.
Yeah, generally, we communicate on a daily basis with the call center, tell them what premiums are going to be offered so that they have that information at their fingertips, or they should. So I don't know how that problem came about, but that does not seem like one that should have happened at all. I have to answer another call.
Two weeks ago.
Caller, would it be possible for you to give your phone number to Max when we got off the air? And then Max will relay your number and information to the general manager, and he can follow up with you regarding the Christine Blondale. Because, as Max said, that's bread and butter. That's I don't know why they weren't able to find it, or you couldn't find it on the website. Yeah. Would that help you?
Yeah, sure. I'll give it. No problem.
Okay. All right. So, Max, put this caller on hold and take his name and phone number, and then put the next caller on the air. Thanks. Okay.
I've lost track of where our next caller is, but we'll take this one. And I don't have a pen to take down information.
Is that you? Am I on?
You're on. WBA, you're on the air.
Hello. Okay. I'm Dennis from Brooklyn. And I have kind of a little list of things I'll get through quickly. First, Max, I want to thank you. When I was a teenager, your type of programming would have gave me an allergic reaction. Now I do not miss you at all, ever. Thank you so much.
You've built up an immunity, huh?
I wish I could do that with this COVID thing. There's a number of issues. I'm sure that there's going to be some people that are going to be very divided on these issues. There are times when I hear certain shows, without naming names, hosts, or shows, where I hear a little too much homage being paid to our previous president, and given light of policy, I think that on BAI, that is not something I want to hear on BAI. Another issue I have, one, it pertains to the website. It's very difficult to listen to things on demand. You can click on one of the programs, and it gives you virtually no information. Some of the shows, some of the listings there won't even have, like, the host's name or the topic of the particular show. And I don't really know what I missed, what I want to catch up on. I don't get a synopsis of that particular show. And it makes it difficult. So a lot of times when I miss a show, I don't even bother trying to go back to listen to it on demand, on the website. Because, I get no information as to what the content of that show was about. Another thing I would like to see is, I would like to see some kind of forum on the website. You know, you sign up a comment section where people can start a topic thread or something. And I know in this age of social media, it will draw the trolls out. But I think that's a big element that I see everyone else doing except for WBAI.
Well, we do have an unofficial Facebook page where that sort of commentary might take place.
I don't Facebook. I don't Facebook or tweet or any of that other social media. The last issue I want to bring on, this is probably the one that's going to be, I don't want to use a confrontation. I find I find that there's a little bit too much religiosity in some programming. I would like to see a lot more secular programming, less religiosity. Not everyone is Bible-based. And I think that sometimes there's a little too much, and I'm secular myself, but I can imagine that people who are not Bible-based and have a different faith-based might also have issue with this, as the representation doesn't seem to be even. So I think that it should be a lot more secular. And I don't mind some form of spirituality, and which is nice, you know, sometimes, you know, but I think some of the organized religions, which I find to be extremely troubling in this country, with some of the big corporatized religions and how politicians have grafted themselves to it, and the breach of church, and there's been a breaching of the separation of church and state in this country. There isn't a politician who won't somehow invoke religion, God, the Bible, or something, and I think that is not a place for BAI, not in this day and age. I also want to say the same thing about, I'd like to see a lot more anti-war coverage. This is the number one issue in the world, is America's so-called foreign policy. And I would like to see a lot more coverage of these policies, and a lot more people that can speak on the intricacies of these policies and how they're harming foreign lands. And I would like to see a lot more anti-war programming and reporting. I think it just calls for it. And there was a couple of other issues which slipped my mind.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your feedback. Stuff to take under consideration.
Okay,
very
thank
much appreciated.
You.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to the next caller.
Next caller
WBAI.
Is there.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Is this me?
It's you.
Hello? Oh, hi. Thanks for letting me know. Yeah, I just wanted to say that that I know Max was trying to be helpful when he was telling the caller to try the website to donate money, but the call center, I believe Bertolt said a few months ago when we had an LSB form on the phone, or maybe it was Zoom, that we pay the $4,000 a month to the call center. And once this pandemic ends, I think we really need to stop paying them and have the listeners go to 388 and answer phones and take pledges and stuff like that, like we did back in the day. And also, I tried to donate to Wake Up Call this morning, and I went to look for it on the computer for the the favorite show menu on that webpage, and it didn't exist. It was not listed. And I found out later on during today from an LSB member that apparently it would only enable a listener to become a BAI buddy for Wake Up Call. So you couldn't just like give money to that particular show for like as a one-time donation. You could only give money as a buddy. So I mean, I didn't go back to the computer to find that because I was at work and I could not do that. But I think that's not fair if that's the truth, because many people like myself cannot afford to be a buddy because I just don't have that kind of income. And, I came through with my word. I said that every time Wake Up Call would be on the air, I would give money. So I've been giving for the last 3 weeks. And I'm hoping that, you know, the fact that I've been giving for that show will help the IPD to invite them to continue beyond 3 weeks. So I think that whoever's doing the website needs to make sure that they do it more fairly and more democratically, and that they update it, because it is not user-friendly. Just in terms of donating money, it's not a user-friendly website. So I hope that the LSB and the IPD and the GM can all work together collectively with the help of the listeners to make things better and make these changes, because we're losing a lot of money, and that's going to be a shame for all of us. Good night. Thank you.
Here's your answer. I just went to the wake-up call page on the WBAI website, and there is an option to be a buddy, and there's an option to make a one-time pledge. Support this show, hosted by Errol Maitland. It's right there. And if that fails, you can also add a note. I don't have the drop-down menu in front of me, but if you call the call center and make a pledge, there is a space for them to take notes as to why you are calling or any other comment you have about your donation. So that I just looked at the website, and it is there. So either they have fixed that, or it was there all along.
But Max, I do want to respond to the caller's comment that the website itself can be the flow, particularly of making a donation, can be difficult. I've encountered it myself, trying to tell people how to make donations, and I do believe I don't want to tell tales out of school or speak out of turn, but I do believe this is an issue that many people are aware of and do think is important, and agree with you that it's important. And I believe and hope that we are going to see improvement in the website and in the donation process very soon. So just want to let you know that you're not crazy. I do think that it is a little bit difficult to navigate our website as it stands.
All right. Thank you for your call. Do we have any more callers?
Oh, we have three more lined up.
Okay.
And one of them is on now.
Okay. WBAI, you're on the air. Go ahead. It's you.
All right.
It's you.
If there's no response, we'll go to the next one.
Okay.
All right.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. It's you.
I wanted to I run a shelter for battered women, and we don't get paid, and so I know how it is with volunteers. But when I started to give money through the call center, every time I called, I realized that people, you know, get mixed up and they're short-staffed. But the basic things I told them, when you go on shift, find out what the premium is so people can pledge. I had Soul Central Station, I had Joanna Fernandez, I had so many shows that I tried to pledge, and they never could find what it was. So I finally decided that the call center was ridiculous, they were useless. So I decided, even though my income is Social Security, I pledged $55 a month, which is a lot for me, and they said they couldn't do checks. So I wrote them letters, I pledged for Joanna Fernandez's show, and they never took it out. I sent two checks of $55, but they didn't send it back. And I've been waiting for a bear because mine ripped, and I lost my chopsticks, which is what I eat with. And I've been very, you know, not down home at all. I really agree we should get rid of the call center.
Well, there are a number of issues of getting rid of the call center. For one thing, they process all of the credit card payments. And frankly, we have no room at WBAI anymore to have more than two or three people. And that area is also used for packing premiums, and it's the kitchen. We lost a couple of rooms because we couldn't pay for all the rent for our whole floor that we had most of. So, and I'm not sure that the phones are set up in order to do that at this moment. So, I mean, there are a number of problems with getting rid of the call center, much as it may be a good idea.
Yeah, maybe they can get the money back when they get rid of the money they're paying to the call center. And if somebody checks and sends me my bag, and they can take the $55 out of my check, which is, like I say, a lot of money for me, but my daughter calls me a BAI addict. I really love BAI, and I've been listening for like 50 years, a long time, and I think it's like fabulous, and I think that's really a shame, and I'd like to see it go back to the listeners. They answered when we could get back the room or do it remotely. I don't have a computer, so I just you know, do things with checks. And if you could find a way to do that, that would be good. And I love, like the other person said, Joanna Fernandez and King Donovan in the morning. I get up at 6 o'clock because I can't get them online. They're really great shows, and they really break it down.
All right. Well, thank you for your call. I'm sorry that you
Thank you, and I even end up listening to Gunsmoke, which I never thought I would, but I've been listening to it. It's kind of funny and corny, but I like it.
Okay. Your show. Thank you.
Thanks, Max. Thanks, everybody. Blessed be.
Okay, we have one final caller here. Let's see if they're still on the line. Caller, go ahead, please.
This is Matt. Am I on?
Matt! On. How dare you call in?
These people, too. Let them talk.
Okay. I am in the back room here, long-time volunteer. And the premiums that are DVDs and things like that, like from Mimi Rosenberg, I produce those. I do the duplicating and the graphics. And these are directly in line with the mission statement of WBAI in terms of being educational. You want anti-war program, for example, U.S. Hands Off Venezuela. That's one of Mimi's, and she does this periodically. And there are many others. Now, I would suggest every premium has a product code. Now, if we have the producer mention the code of the premium, which is not being done, if you go on the WBAI website, give2wbai.org, if you put in the code in the search box, it comes right up. And you can pledge right on the website. So that might be an option. The other thing is, I think Berthold is working on some way respecting social distancing and wearing masks to have people come in. This is in the planning stages. I don't know all the details, but we will see how that develops. I know because the other day I got a call from a listener was trying to make a $200 pledge. The call center said, we're having technical difficulties. I took the call, took his credit card, entered the pledge, and I told Berthold. So, we're working on resolving this issue. The other thing is, some of the programming, well, Dr. Ali is back, when he's not being preempted. He's been gone for a long time. And I would like to see Ecologic being brought back. That is...
It is back.
Well, it's back, but they should have their full hour. They should really have the full hour. And because the issues that they deal with, you know, really need the time. And it really makes you aware of what's going on in the environment. You can hear the full hour. They do a full hour. The other half hour is on ecoradio.org. And you can hear the whole hour show, you know, after the half hour is over. But that should be brought back. And the other issue is we have producers. You have to understand people who are producing some of the radio programs. David Rothenberg has done such a good job with the Fortune Society. You have to understand what he does in prison reform. The idea that people formerly incarcerated can have a place to stay and get education and get back into society. Mimi Rosenberg is a legal aid lawyer who produces two radio programs, which is not working to keep innocent people out of jail or from getting executed. So we have amazing people working at this radio station. And this whole radio station is a great, great community for many social and political issues. And it makes people aware. See, the thing is to make people aware and have people offer solutions. So,
okay, Matt. Well, on that note, I'm going to thank you because I got to wrap up here. Thank you.
Okay. That's my comment. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. So let me just give some information here about these upcoming meetings on the PMB and local station board meetings. And again, remind you that the full schedule of PNB and LSB teleconference meetings is available on kpftx.org, and the stream of those meetings can also be heard there. So on Thursday, September 3rd at 8:30 p.m., the PNB will be meeting. On Wednesday, September 9th at 7 p.m., the WBI Local Station Board will have a meeting. So be on the lookout for announcements regarding how you can call in and participate in public comment. And on Wednesday, September 16th at 7 p.m., is the WBI Finance Committee meeting. To get more information about the LSB, visit www.wbai.org/lsbindex.php. Again, www.wbai.org/lsbindex.php to join the LSB's public listserv, in which you can read posts and discussions among LSB members. Send a blank email message to wbai-lsb-public-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. And if you'd like to do it the old-fashioned way, you can send letters to the local station board at WBAI 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. For those who missed the July LSB report, an edited version of the show is available on WBAI.org under the recently aired shows section on the front page of the site. The next LSB report will air Wednesday, September 30th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Special thanks to Linda Perry for the use of this time and to our engineer, Max Schmid, for his assistance. And thank all of you for calling in today. And again, please note, BBO Radio with Craig Lewis and Theo Wilson will be back next week. Up next is the award-winning Midnight Ravers, where every show is special. Yeah. So until next month, stay tuned.
Traveling around New York City, one sees many people wearing masks, but others running or on bikes or just walking down the street aren't wearing them. Some not wearing masks try to avoid people. They walk around mask wearers, and still others wearing masks have them down below their noses. And, of course, New York City is nothing like Ocean City, where thousands without masks crowd boardwalks and beaches. But here in New York City, those not wearing masks or wearing masks improperly are worrisome. Can't think they don't care, but cavalier attitudes regarding masks put some of us on edge. Maybe they didn't get the message from New York officials that masks are to protect others. Activist Ajamu Baraka tweets, self-indulgent narcissism equals USA. Governor Andrew Cuomo says there's no legitimate rational explanation.
Well, I don't like the way it looks. You know what? Paint something on the mask, right? Get a new color. You know, you can get a designer mask. It's such a the opposition is so trivial and nonsensical relative to the risk. You could get sick. You could make somebody else sick, even if you think you're a Superman or Superwoman. You could bring the virus home and get someone sick, and it winds up killing them.
Here at WBAI, you can get one of those interesting face masks. We've created masks which show the value of our
radio station, WBAI, and show that we value others. The masks are 100% cotton. They're available in white or black. For a contribution of $35, it gets you a WBAI face mask with our logo and the saying, keep free speech radio alive. Please call 516-620-3602 and ask for a WBAI face mask for a contribution of $35. 516-620-3602 or go to the WBAI donation website, give2wbai.org, and order a WBAI logo face mask. And you'll help us pay for this listener-sponsored free speech radio station, WBAI New York. Thank you for your support.
The 2020 census. Every 10 years, the census records everyone living in this country. It's written in the Constitution and comes in a questionnaire that counts everyone who lives at your address on April 1st. The data can be used to inform funding for services like fire stations, schools, clinics, and representation that affect your community.
How will 2020 census data be used? Where there are more people, there are more.